We find in the 49th Perek Mem Tet, that Yaakov called his sons, this is the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, and said, "Assemble yourself, and I will tell you what will befall you in the end of days. Gather yourselves and listen, O sons of Yaakov, and listen to Israel your father," and then it begins the different brachos to each and every tribe. Very famous medrash, which Rashi quotes, that Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell the children, Bikesh Lugalos Esakets. He wanted to tell them when Mashiach would come. And at that moment, when he wanted to do that, whereupon the divine presence departed from him, and instead of being able to tell them when the divine presence was going to come, Lugalos Esakets, to reveal the end, Bistalka Menu Ashchina, the divine presence left him, and instead he blessed them. So, in the inside story, based on the writing of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, this raises the obvious question. Why did Yaakov wish to do such a thing? What would such knowledge have achieved? On the contrary, had the children of Israel known the date of Mashiach's coming, would this not have more adverse effect on their morale? Wouldn't it be a source of discouragement and despair waiting for 3,500 years? And he points out that Hashem prevented Yaakov from disclosing this to his children, the end of days, was to remain a mystery. Hashem didn't want him to tell him when it would be. Regardless of how its revelation might encourage our effort to perfect the world and prepare for redemption. For in order for man to truly participate in the perfection of creation, it's crucial that the time frame for the advent of the Messianic era be unknown to him. So Kodesh Baruch Hu understood that in order for us to really be able to tap into the koach, the power of the achris hayamim of the future, it's imperative that we don't know when it will come. The final redemption is a divine act, unequivocal and eternal. So if man is to play a meaningful role in bringing it about, it is through deeds that are themselves unequivocal and eternal. Hence, the state of gullet in which we find ourselves, a state of physical and spiritual displacement, a state in which God's guiding hand in history is obfuscated, and our lives seem abandoned to chance and caprice. When a person retains his integrity and loyal to God, even under such conditions, he is manifesting an eternal commitment to God. We don't know when it's going to come. We don't know when it's going to end. And yet we hold on for dear life at every single moment. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He didn't want Yaakov Avinu to tell when would be the final day that will come, and that we just sit passively by. He wanted us to hold on, knowing that at any moment it could come. And therefore, Gullut is not something from which we need to be redeemed, but also the condition that enables our meaningful participation in the redemption process. Gullut means being in the dark, being in the world which obscures its rich spiritual content, a world that is deaf to the chimes of the cosmic clock of history, and nevertheless, we are involved in trying to make this world a better place. We are actively involved in trying to bring godliness here. And that is what we need to understand, that Hashem doesn't want us to know when the end is. He wants us, nevertheless, to be involved in the process of being able to reveal the end. Having said this, it's important to note, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and we will develop this, that if Yaakov desired to tell us, that desire itself had an effect, and on some level, underlying the surface is a knowing soul, a soul attuned to the supernal timetable, a soul sensitive to the moments most opportune for redemption and empowered to reveal this knowledge and potential. The fact that Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell us this means that on some level we have the ability to tap into those moments where the spiritual potential of redemption is that much higher. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want us to know exactly when it would be. Yaakov Avinu felt, however, it would be important for us to know, and Hashem said otherwise. Our job is not to know, our job is to be involved in holding on, even in the times of darkness. Our job is to be involved in finding godliness in this dark world in being able to bring the world closer to the redemptive end. Now, before we develop this a little bit, my friends, and we'll get to the core of our shiur today in a moment or two, it's very important for us to just step back for a moment and just define what is this redemptive period that we're looking forward to. So as the Yom Moshe Rav Scheinerman brings down, oftentimes you find that people are in difficult situations. Whatever's going on, fill in the blank, whatever's going on in their life, they say, Matai Yavo Mashiach, right, like with a sigh. When will Mashiach come? Corona. Hi, we need Mashiach. The financial crisis, every crisis in the world. Hi, when will Mashiach come? And he says, Achein lamitos shal davar, hasiba mechamata tzvichim anu lusapov l'chakol l'biyat ha-Mashiach, eina b'chdei shiftor b'tzukoteim p'utot b'ustot shemachol yom. Mashiach isn't like some type of Akamol, some type of aspirin that's going to solve all of our problems. That's not why we want Mashiach. That's not the job of Mashiach. What is the job of Mashiach? So Rav Shach says, very fascinating. He says, you take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes that Yaakov Avinu gathered his sons together in order to make them, work with them, to be able to be miyache, that they should be able to have Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, that he was trying to encourage them. That was why he gathered them together, says the Rambam, to be able to serve Hashem. So on this, the Kesef Mishnah asks on the Rambam, hold on a second, doesn't the Medrash tell us that the reason that Yaakov Avinu gathered them together was to tell them when Mashiach was going to come? So Rav Shach explains, Hainuach, they're one and the same. At the point of knowledge of the future, what Yaakov Avinu wanted to give over to his children wasn't necessarily the idea of Mashiach being that which is going to solve our problems. Rather, Mashiach is the time of revelation of godliness. And what Yaakov Avinu was trying to do with his children was to be able to encourage them that they should work on themselves in their avodas Hashem, in their service of God, that they should work on themselves in their understanding of the relationship with Hashem. And that working on themselves is what's going to bring the Mashiach. That is the Mashiach. That is the time of the future. How does the Svarim characterize the time of Mashiach? It will be a time where the knowledge of God will be like the water on the sea. It will be closest to Ribono Shel Olam. So when Yaakov Avinu wants to reveal the end that he wants to reveal is the climax of this world. It is our intimate relationship with Hashem, where the whole world will know, the Yedu, everyone will know, Ki Hashem Elokim Einod Mavado, that Hashem exists, there is none other aside from Him. So my friends, what we've established so far is Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell when this end was going to come, when this ultimate revelation of godliness was going to come, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I don't want you to tell when that ultimate time will come, because what I want Klal Yisrael to do is to be working on this process throughout all of Galus. That Galus itself is a time to be able to find godliness and not to step back and say it will happen one day. One fine day we'll all be close to God. Until then, we'll just, live in darkness. No, to be able to find the light within the moments of darkness. Having said this, and now we enter into our arena today, it is clear that if Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the Kates, he wanted to reveal the end time, then that desire itself, to some degree, came to fruition. And this is the Yisod, the Basilus Mavavam, points out in 8a and 8b. It's a very fascinating principle. He says, in our secular world, if people have a discussion, and people, back and forth, should we do this, should we do that, and then they come to a conclusion, we'll do X. So all the other suggestions are null and void, and we do X. And there's no real merit to the other suggestions in a real way, because we've nullified them, right? We've nixed them. It's not true, however, in the Shaklavataria and the back and forth within the Talmudic discussions as well as within any discussions of Torah. albeit they may not be the halacha, we may not pass it in that way, but the fact that this idea was even raised, we call it a havamina, the thought was even raised, that thought has truth to it. There's some veracity to it, and that exists on some spiritual level. And that's why we have the arguments in the Gemara. Why not just say what the end result is? Right? Daf Yomi wouldn't be 7 years. It would be 3.5 years. A lot more people may join. No. The answer is that the back and forth is Torah too. There is what to learn from it. We may not follow it, but it has truth to it. It has a tremendous amount of weight to it. Therefore, if Yaakov Avinu, who represents the Ish Emes, the paradigm of truth, Al korchecha et bi shegam veotam dvarim acherim shehigin nimsa ben batreim rosav et asher yikra b'achrus hayomim. If Yaakov Avinu wanted, bikesh, he wanted to share the end, it is found in what he said. It's not found in a revealed type of way. It's found in the brachas itself, this that which he wanted to share with them. What is it that he wanted to share with them? So now we're honing in. Notzi avodah, the Tasha Rebbe Zatzal, based on the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, who says, Shebikesh Yaakov legalov velaspir, and double squiggly, and 9, et haderech heach mekarvim et hagula. Yaakov Avinu, when he was bikesh legalos et haketz, he wasn't trying to say a year. The year Tov Shem Pei Beis, halavai, right? The Mashiach is going to come. That's not what it means, says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Bikesh legalos et haketz meant he wanted to give them a toolbox on how to bring the Geula closer. That's what he wanted to give them. And that, for whatever reason, Hashem said, no, I don't want you to give them that toolbox. I want them to figure that it out themselves. But the fact that Yaakov Avinu was bikesh, that he wanted to do this, so says the Avod Avodah, as well as Masils Bavavav, what Yaakov Avinu did, therefore, was within the brachos of the children, he gave over hints on how to be Megala Taket. He didn't say it in an outright way, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to. But if you read between the lines, you will see that he gave us directives of how to be Mekarvim et HaGeula, how we can bring the redemption closer. And if we're able to study what were those things, we will see that we have the toolbox that Yaakov Avinu, at some level, not in an open, revealed way, in a concealed way, we have some hints as to what Yaakov Avinu was trying to get at on how the redemption process can be brought closer. And it's important to note here that obviously we're talking about the ultimate redemption. That's what Yaakov Avinu was talking about. That's what we're going to be talking about. At the same time that we're talking about the cosmic redemption, at the very same time we're also talking about personal redemption, and we'll touch on that as well. And that the really two go hand in hand in what we're speaking about today. We have to have that, not really in the back of our minds, really the forefront of our minds, that whatever we need to be redeemed, right? Some people need shiduchim, some people need children, some people need a child to come back off the derech, some people need parnassos, some people need refuah, right? The list goes on. Whatever a person may need, that when we talk about how do you bring redemption closer, we're also talking about personal redemption. So, let's take a look at three suggestions, perhaps, of three of the sons, of reading between the lines that Yaakov Avinu was giving us hints on how to bring the redemption closer. The first one we'll spend the most time on, and that is in Dan's bracha. In 11a, Dan is compared to a serpent on the highway, a viper by the path that bites a horse heel, so its rider falls backward. And then, as Chazal say, this is a reference to Shimshon, Yaakov Avinu saw that Shimshon could have been Mashiach, but he died. So Yaakov Avinu makes a very interesting comment. He says, "Lushu Ascha Kivisi Hashem, for your salvation do I long, O Hashem." And that, the Sfarim say, which will develop now as the core of our shir, is idea number one of the three of how do we bring redemption closer. The answer is desire. The answer is kivui, longing. Let's begin with the Avodah Avodah at Source 10a. V'zeh Ramaz Yaakov b'amro l'shuasecha kivisi Hashem l'aro lahem. Kedei hakivui, l'shuasecha kivisi, I yearn, I long, I desire. L'harod lahem kedei hakivui v'sipiyah shebnei sometzapim miyachalim elagula. To the extent that we desire, we long for the redemption, hey mekarvim et ha-geula, this is how we bring the redemption closer. And indeed, we have in the bracha of Etzemach Davi, which is connected to the bracha of Yerushalayim Yerucha, we have that line, ki yeshuascha ki vinu kol hayom, for your salvation do we yearn all day. Why do we say this in this bracha? Because to the extent that I yearn for this salvation, to the extent that I want this salvation, to that extent I'm able to bring the salvation closer. How are we mekarev et ha-geula? By wanting this. Let's develop this, my friends, first on the cosmic level, and then we'll get more into the individual level. We know the Gemara tells us, and the Gemara in Shabbos 11b, Ber Moshe, the Usher of a Rebbe, brings down, B'sha'a shemachnisim adam ladin, when a person is going to be in the final judgment after 120 years, we know that there are a number of questions. Question one, Nasata v'natata b'emuna, did you act righteously in your business? Question two, Kavati timul Torah, did you make sure you have time for learning Torah, right? So one of the questions asked is, Sipita li Yeshua, did you yearn for salvation? Now here's a Rashi that many of us don't pay attention to. Rashi on this says, what does it mean, Sipita li Yeshua, you yearn for salvation? L'divrei ha-Nevi'im. These interesting two words of Rashi. To the words of the prophets, which means, L'manu shetapia li Yeshua chayevet liyot tochen chayav shel Adam Yisrael. This has to be part of our repertoire yearning for Mashiach. It's not a noun tzipia li Yeshua mitoch dochach v'tzar. It's not from difficulties and challenges. Rather, l'divrei nevi'im. Why am I yearning for Mashiach? Not because, I just can't anymore. I'm like over my head. Like, the stress level is so beyond. Obviously, I need Mashiach. No. Why do I yearn for Mashiach? Because the Nevi'im, the prophets, have prophesied about Mashiach. The prophets have prophesied what it will be like in the future. And this is, as the Smat points out, say, from Mitzvah Katan, the basis of this belief is really based on the first of the Aseret Dibros. You believe in a God who took you out of Egypt. Likewise, you should believe in a God who's going to redeem you in the future as well. Very beautiful imagery that the Ber Moshe brings in 13. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about that Hoy Hamit Avim et Yom Hashem. This is referring to those who are yearning for the day of God. Lama zeh lachem yom Hashem hu choshech v'lo or. Why are we yearning for the day of Hashem? It's darkness, not light. And the Gemara gives a mashal to a rooster and a bat, both of them who are waiting for morning. The rooster said to the bat, I'm waiting for the morning because I want to have light. But why are you waiting for the morning, right? You have no eyes. You don't see. Right? And this is the difference between us and the Goyim. Why are the Goyim waiting for the Messianic era? We're waiting for the Messianic era because that's going to be a time of light. It's going to be a time of knowledge of God, as we spoke about. It's very interesting that in Perek Shira, what is the song that the Tarnagol, that the rooster sings? This is it. L'shuascha kivisi Hashem. For your salvation, I yearn Hashem. The rooster really is for us, and hence the first bracha in Birkos HaShachar, and it gives us a deeper appreciation, is the bracha of Anotein Lasech Vibina Lavchim Ben Yom V'Naila, who's given the rooster the ability to discern between day and night. And obviously the question that the Mefarshim ask is, many of us have never even heard a rooster. Why are we giving thanks to a rooster that discerns between day and night? It seems like so random, and that's the first bracha of the day. So based on what we're saying, we understand that the rooster becomes the paradigm of one who's yearning for the night to be over and the day to begin. The rooster is a reminder to us of what it means to yearn for salvation. We'll just add parenthetically here a very beautiful idea that Rav Shor brings in Alekach Valibu Vambirkos Hashech, a very thin little sefer where he says, but replete with amazing ideas, thin only in physical, not in anything else, where he says that the fascinating thing about roosters is, if any of you have ever been out in the country, you know, that when the rooster cock-a-doodle-doos, I'm sure there's a fancier word for that, crows, I don't know what it is, it's still pitch dark out, right? The rooster is the model of someone who disturbs between day and night. So you would think that the rooster is going to wake people up when it's actually light, but he doesn't. When the rooster crows, it's still pitch dark outside. And very shortly afterwards, the morning star comes out. And this is really the model of the rooster, where the rooster is saying to us, in the depth of the darkness, right? The darkest time of the night is right before the sun rises. The rooster is saying to us, know, believe, yearn for hope, the daytime's going to come. The rooster becomes a model for us to never give up, to be really believe in the darkest of the dark, in the most difficult situations where there is no recourse. That's when the rooster crows, and the rooster is saying, wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. There's going to be dawn. There's going to be light. That model, the rooster, that's the model of the Shuascha Kivisi Hashem, that even within the greatest darkness, we never give up hope, and we always believe for the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has to be our understanding of what life is. So on the cosmic level, it means that with all of this sheker, with all of this falsehood, and all of this corruption in the world that has really hidden any sense of godliness in it, it's a world that is literally an upside-down world. Know that in such a world, it's not going to be forever. This darkness is going to end, and we're yearning for the time of Mashiach, the time of revelation, the time of godliness, the time when Hashem will reveal Himself and the whole world will be able to have this closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to yearn for it. We have to long for it, and to the extent of our yearning and longing, to that extent, the crowing of the rooster, we're able to bring it closer. If that's true on the cosmic level, it's equally true on the individual level. Let's talk about the individual level and the yearning aspect for a number of moments. Masils Bavavam has a very, very long essay. I took many of the parts. However, it's much more intricate. He says, when a person is mashlim imatzav, we're in source 15, our person is just saying, you know what, this is it. It's not going to change. And people have statements like, life isn't a picnic. This is what life is about. Just get used to it. Everyone has their pekalach. This is yours. Deal. He says, mikoram ba'olamam shel hagoyim ve'inam lefi ruach haTorah. All of those statements I just made, which we find from people saying, comes from the world of the Goyim, the world of the nation. It's not a Jewish concept. Hashlama 16, im hamatzav, peyusha shehu chai, rak im hoveh. Living like this is you're living just in the present. V'lo nosei na b'tikva likrat atid yoter tov, and you don't long and yearn for something even better. And the very fact that you're not yearning for something greater, you've killed really your chances for something greater. We all have to breathe into whatever situation we are in life. Remember that list I said? Shiduchim, children, parnasa, refuah, a whole list. You have to breathe life into it. That it's not, forget it, we believe. There is hope. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of this world. He's Kol Yochel. He can do anything. Adam Yisrael b'chol matzav shu yachol v'tzarich l'tzapo l'shinui gadol. You have to believe. Harachay v'picha v'amaleihu. Open your mouth wide. Open your mouth wide means not going to the dentist. It means open your mouth to daven. Hashem, this is what I want, and continuously daven. And this, to the extent that we daven, to that extent we are opening up the ability to be answered. And we have to understand, ki amayim minu mekavel Hashem asher biyado, לגדוב ולחזק לכל, אין דבריו שבשר אדם שהיום קם מחר בקבר עפר בחייו כבחום מיטתו, עושים רושם עליו. If you really believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, then you believe, מאין יבוא עזרי, from where will my salvation come? עזרי ממשם. It's going to come from God. It's not going to come from people. You know, the example I've made mention of many times is that we were personally given close to 30 years ago, a 3% chance of ever having kids. And that was from like a top doctor, right? So 3% is not a very high number out of 100, right? Not out of 5, right? They're bus of a dam. They're here today and going tomorrow. It's l'shuasra kivisi Hashem. You have to be able to be makave. And you have to recognize, in all these difficulties, you have to see that there is light, that you can never give up hope. To just say, throw up your hands and say, well, there is no hope, there's nothing to do about it. That's kfira. That's someone who doesn't believe. That doesn't mean that's necessarily going to happen, but it means that I believe it can happen. And again, to the extent that I believe, and to the extent that I daven, I have the ability to bring this down into my life. And we have to believe in that. And we have to believe in the salvation. You know, what comes to my mind is a friend of mine whose daughter was in Shidduchim for a while. And I'm not giving out a skula here that, but I am mentioning. So I was talking to her, and I was telling her that there is an idea brought down in the Sfarim that if a person has something they need, you say Kapitul Kuf, chapter 100, Mizrach Toda, thanking Hashem. And when you thank Hashem, think about what the salvation will look like. Some people write it, some people imagine it, right? So for her, in Shidduchim, imagine the L'chaim, imagine going shopping with your daughter for the wedding dress, imagine all of these things. And then, right, to thank Hashem, that's Kapitul Kuf, Mizrach Toda, thank Hashem for all the wonderful things that are going to happen. And then say Kapitul Kuf, chapter 20, Lam Natsayach, right, Yan Hashem Yom Sarah, that Hashem should help you. And to do this for 40 days. And I will tell you, day 38, she made a L'chaim for her daughter. So that just happened recently. So again, it was like infusing a certain energy, like, imagine this, like, believe in it. Make it happen. And this is a deeper understanding of the Usher of a Rebbe, and again in Bir Moshe, who says, we say, very famous by Yom Kippur, davening, Ashrechem Yisrael lifnei mi atem atarim. Praised are you, Klai Yisrael, in front of whom you purify yourself. And what is the pasuk to support this? Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. That Hashem is the Mikveh Yisrael, the one whom we hope for. And we play in words, Mikveh is a mikveh, a water bath, that this is the way we have tara, we have purity. And he says, no. Elishihihi, hakivui atzmo tara hi l'Yisrael. It's not playing on words, it's one and the same. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, what is the mikveh of Yisrael? What is the hope of a Jew? That hope of a Jew, that is the kivui, it's the hope itself. And that's the purifying. That's the mikveh. That's what purifies us. The idea that I have hope. The idea that I understand this Ribbono Shel Olam who's Kol Yochol. Right? And again, his time clock is different than my time clock. I have to recognize that, and I have to recognize that sometimes he'll say no. At the same time, I don't give up. I continually daven. I continually yearn. It's interesting that when we take a look at the idea of redemption, particularly the redemption in, again, the ultimate world redemption, it's couched in the imagery of a plant, of a tzemach. Source 19, we find in our tefillah, Et semach David avdecha mehera tatzmiach. Matzmiach kerem Yeshua. Right? It's like a plant that needs to flower. The flowering of the malchus of the kingship of David. What's this idea of ma'av zera shimenu somachar Yeshua? So the idea is that the redemption is like a seed that has to flourish. Well, what is this seed? This seed, asked the Asher Rav Rebbe, Umeshiv, the bracket of 19, Hatikva Vatzipia Yeshua. Our tears water it. But the seed is our hope. The seed is Kilushuascha Kivinu Kolayom Utsapi Yeshua. The seeds are the hope that we planted. The hope that we have that it's going to happen. Matzmiach Yeshuos. And it's interesting, you know, when you take a look at the other parts of our davening, you know, we ask Hashem that He should be Vahale Refuah Shleima L'chol Machlateinu, that Hashem should bring healing to all of our ailments. And then we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Rofech Olamei Yisrael. I know, You are the healer. And it's with certainty. You are the one where it's going to come from. So we have to understand when we daven, and it gives us a perspective, a depth in our davening, that when I yearn for something and I ask for something, my yearning and asking in itself is a statement that Hashem has the ability to do this, and Hashem can do this, and I'm just waiting for it to happen. And just like there is no sprouting without planting, Kach ein Yeshua lelo tikva v'emuna, source 20 in the asterisk, bottom right. There is no salvation without hope and belief. U'me'idach ha'idea tikva Yeshuato b'ducha. Ha'shela rak echo matai u'ma'od yavor alav ad az. No guarantee when it's going to happen. But to the extent you believe in something, you desire something, that itself is the planting. That's what we need, right? Just to sit back and say, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. And if not, not. You know, it's in His hands. And I'm just going to sit back and, you know, twiddle my thumbs. No. That's not what's going to bring it down. It takes hard work. And this is what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us. You want Ke'ula, you want redemption. He sneaks in to the bracha of Dan. And again, we're not getting into the depth of Dan. By accident, the bracha of Dan is connected to the Nachash. The Nachash, obviously, is the fall of Adam HaRishon. That Lishuascha, Kivisi Hashem, is how to undo that fall of the Nachash, of the original serpent. It's bringing the redemption in Dan's bracha. And this is the bracha, that even in the world of Dan, in the world of Din, in the world of judgment, you have the ability to bring mercy, and that is through Kivui. Let's just take this idea a little bit deeper, my friends. We know, if we're dealing with planting, we know something very fascinating about planting. Let's listen to this, because I think it's going to make us feel a little bit better. Or worse, but better. So hold on tight. When one plants, if you know anything about planting, you know that the seed first disintegrates into the ground. It becomes almost nothing. And then from the nothing comes the something. This is also true in that which we hope for. Before it becomes a something, things get worse before they get better. Bevchinat ayin, as if said, there's a nothing. U'misham somachar Yeshua lafocha kol utava bevchinat yesh ma'ayin. And then from there, you can have a yesh ma'ayin, a something from nothing. But first, this is the way it works in this world. First, you have to have an ayin, a nothingness, right? Ma'ayin yavo esri. That's where it comes from. Ma'ayin yavo esri. Not as a question, but as a statement. From ayin, from nothingness, comes my salvation. And we have to recognize that things will get worse before they get better. And that's why by Kivoy it repeats it, right? Kapitel Kavzayin Yudalit. Kavel Hashem, from David Hashem Ori, Kavel Hashem Chazak V'emetz Libecha, yearn to Hashem, be strong, V'kavel Hashem, and yearn some more. You need strength and you need yearning. It's so easy to be despondent and to give up hope. know that before anything is going to blossom, you're going to have it look even worse. And the example it gives in 22 is both by, you see, it's by Shiduchim and by Parnassah, which is interesting that both of them are connected to Kasha Zivugam, and Kasha, difficult, is a person's Zivug, who a person marries, as well as a person's Parnassah, like Kriyas Yamsah. Both of them are connected. And in what way do they have a lot in common? But in this area, in source 22, says Rav Eisenberger, Mesils Bavavam, he says, you see so often that somebody says, oh, I have the greatest shidduch for your daughter or your son, and you get so excited, and you look into it, and it looks amazing, and they go out three times, and it falls. And you're like, that's it. This is it. I thought this was going to be it, and everything was doing well, and now I'm like, I can't go on. And then out of nowhere, a suggestion comes out of nowhere, and that works. Or you think that this job is going to be like, you know, God's gift to the world job, and then it doesn't pan out, and then something even better comes up. Or something different comes up. That's what we have to understand. That recognize that in these areas, that you have to have patience. And he says, like, if you would tell a farmer, right, plant in the ground, okay, then the farmer's like nervous. I just took that seed, I put it in the ground. I want to see what's going on. And he takes it out, and he says, oh my gosh, it's disintegrated. You're making matters worse. So a smart person will say, you know what, just leave it in the ground. It will grow. A fool will say, let me take it out now. Let me stop. I give up. Nothing's going to grow from this. We can't be the fool. We have to keep it in the ground, and we have to daven. And we have to continue to daven. And it may be a while to daven. It may be like we had 10 years before our daughter was born. Kavel Hashem, chazak ve'emetz libecha, v'kavel Hashem. Just to take this a little bit deeper, 24b, the Gemara tells us, banai umazonai lo bezchuta atalia milsa elo bemazalia atalia milsa, that your children, your parnasa, are not dependent on merit, they're dependent on mazal. So ask the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, well, hold on a second, doesn't it say ein mazal Yisrael? There is ein, there is no mazal to Yisrael. Explains about Shem Tov HaKadosh, Shebechinat Ayin Ein Hu Mazal Yisrael. What is the mazal for Klal Yisrael? The idea of Ein, the Ayin, the nothingness. That's what we need to understand. What is the Koach of what Am Yisrael is about? The Koach of what Klal Yisrael is about? The Koach for us. So if we summarize what we've seen till now, Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell the future. Hashem said no. They have to be able to struggle each and every generation. The struggle itself is what part of what brings the redemption process closer. Why do we want redemption? Redemption is in order to be able to have a closer relationship with Hashem. That's what redemption is. It's not about getting what we want. It's about closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ultimate redemptive process. Yaakov Avinu, by being bikesh, by wanting to, on some level, accomplish this. And he hid it within some of the brachos to his children. One of the brachos that he hid it in is Dan's bracha, Lishua Secha Kivisi Hashem. How do we, what does it mean? He was Megala Takeitz, he wanted to tell Plaisa, how do you bring it closer? And one of the ways to bring it closer is to want it closer, to want it in our lives. The more we want the redemption, again, on the macro and micro level, to that extent, we're able to bring it closer. Just to summarize this before we take it into our lives, Rabbi Fran brings down that this idea of giving Klal Yisrael hope and not making them despondent is why Yaakov Avinu brought down the cedar tree so that they would know that they're going to build a Mishkan. They're going to come out. He was trying to build up the hope of Klal Yisrael. 26, again, quoting Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, says, how Yaakov felt it was necessary for the Jews to know when they would be redeemed for the very same reason, so he would not give up hope. However, Hashem knew that if Yaakov revealed the day of the redemption to his sons, it would have the opposite effect. Instead of encouraging the Jews to hold out, they would fall to despair because the date was so far from the future. When Yaakov saw the Shekhinah had departed, he still wanted to impart some sort of message of hope to his descendants. He told each son what his Shevet's position in Klal Yisrael would be, which explains Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, to give them hope toward a bright future in which each Shevet would have a mission to accomplish. It's that hope that the prophet refers to when he says, Shuvu Lutz, return to the fortress, O prisoners of hope. Only those with hope can make it through a long and bitter exile. So again, just giving the brachos themselves was this aspect of hope. Now, I want to add two nekudos, two ideas on this before we do the other two levels. Idea number one is, when we say the bracha every single day at Tzemach David, look it in your siddur, mark it down, the bracha of Tzemach David is asking for the geula every single day. And again, the fact that we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're asking Him for the salvation, notes of Mendelbaum, Rim Chalukai Melech in 27, burning for salvation, he hamuna. That is faith. When we yearn that Hashem will redeem Klai Yisrael, that's an indication he believes in God. That Hashem is our Redeemer. So we have to understand, just saying this bracha itself, Hashem, please redeem Klai Yisrael, bring Mashiach ben David, rebuild Yerushalayim, all these brachos. That is a very deep recognition of faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in control. And we have to be able, when we say this bracha, L'shu'ascha kivinu kol hayom, for your salvation I yearn all day, to really believe, to stop, that I, this is a fulfillment of this Gemara, that I really believe that today, today Hashem can bring the geula. However, my friends, I want us to understand this is very practical for our lives, that this is not this idea of Kishuascha Kivinu Kol Yom, the end of 28. This isn't only true, this line of to your salvation I yearn every day. Elegam came Mikol Haliota Pertiot Shaladam. This is also true of all the challenges that happen to a person. And he brings here from the Shari Tshuva, Ubramro Lishuascha Kivinu, the asterisk in 28, Yechavein, you should have in mind in saying this line, Lishuascha Kivinu, that Litzapot Liyeshua Tashem Shose Imanu Latilenu Mekama Pekaim Ra'im B'chol Yom U'V'chol Rega U'matzati To'elet Gadol Kama Pamim Li'ito B'tzara B'zeh. Says the Shari Tshuva, you can have and you should have in mind whatever challenge you're going through in this particular time in your life. And he says, I've seen many times that I have been, you know, amazing results from this. So when you say this line in at Tzemach David, go take a look, mark it down. Obviously, first and foremost, to have in mind that Hashem should redeem Klal Yisrael, and we should have Mashiach, we should have this relationship with Hashem. As well as to have in mind, whatever situation you're in, the yearning, Hashem, please bring, and fill in the blank, health, money, children, partner, shidduch, whatever it is. This you should have in mind. And again, this is part of what life is about. It's about that our yearning itself is emuna. Our yearning itself is what brings us salvation. We'll just end this level with recognizing that part of the yearning is not just this line and waking up every day, oh, will Mashiach come? You know, it's interesting, the phone that I have, which is common in what we call the dumb phones that are really the smartphones. I don't know who thought of it calling it the dumb phone. Obviously, people who weren't so smart, but we'll leave that one out. In a regular simple phone, that all it does is call people. Could you imagine a phone ever did such a thing? So it has different tunes to it, different rings to it. The ring for the alarm in the morning is Ani Mamin that Mashiach is going to come. B'chol Yom Shiyafo. Right, that's the ring in the morning. Can you imagine waking up in the morning? Like that's your alarm clock. Like Mashiach, wake up. He's here. It's ready. Okay, that was just a sidebar comment. 29. Avoda Savoda. Aside from the yearning, we have to build ourselves ready for the geula. And again, since we spoke about that the geula, the redemption, is about a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the redemption is about closeness to Hashem, So therefore, just like in the original Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan, Tocha Ratzuf Ava Mibdot Yushalayim, that what pulsated through the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan was the Ava Vishtokikus, the desire to build, the desire to have Hashem dwell. V'cheinu be'inyan Hashras HaShchina Shebelev HaAdam. We have to build within ourselves a place that Hashem can dwell, with the understanding that I want Hashem to dwell here, because I want to have this closeness in as a preparatory step for the ultimate closeness of the Geula. And that's Vasuli Mikdash V'Shechanti V'Tocham, that Hashem can be able to dwell in each and every one of us. And our job is to be able, Kiel Derech Zeh Tzarich She'yeh L'Chol Acham Yisrael. We all have to have a fire, a passion, to be able to do the will of Hashem, to want to connect to Hashem. Double squiggly in 30. Vishtokek lomo b'yeter asvada, to learn more focus, to daven with greater passion, to serve Hashem with greater loyalty, and to have, as Rabbi Elimelech Milzin says, v'tiva'er tamid ruach kachacha b'kirbeinu, the Spirit of God should always be found within us. We should have a tshuka and ava, a desire for Hashem. The more I build this within me, the more I'm really connecting to the Ribono Shalom and able to be ready when Mashiach comes. That's idea number one. What does it mean to reveal the end? Reveal the end to the Zohar Shem Tov HaKadosh. How do you get there? How do you get there? L'shuas v'akivinu, kivisi Hashem. Desire. The second way how to get there is in a different one of the brachas. And that's God. God is one of the sons that gets very little press. And God is a very holy boy. He was born Mahol. He has tremendous potential. That's not our discussion for today. In the way they traveled, God is connected to the month of Elul. So he has tremendous power. He was the ones that went in and conquered Eretz Yisrael, which obviously has symbolism. Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in God's territory. A lot of symbolism to God. Believe that as it may. Most people don't call their kids God because it may give them, you know, like a power image, you know, being called God and not God and God and God, and who knows where that's going to lead us. God knows. God, God. Anyway, God's bracha is a tongue twister. God gedud yigudenu v'hu yagud akev. So you see the name God is found in God in gedud yigudenu and you go over and over again this words of God. So, what's going on here? So, not looking at the bracha, what this pasuk means, however, on a deeper level. The Sefer O of Yisrael, the after of, points out that on the idea of v'heyed bracha, and Avravim should be a blessing, so Chazal say v'chachotmi, with you, they're going to close. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Zubikin Ishmer Esrei, Bechachotmim, Magen Avraham. Why Bechachotmim, Magen Avraham? Ki Avodat Avraham, I got stuck on Gemilus Chasotim. Avram Avinu's job was kindness. And Bechachotmim, in the end, we're going to the grand finale, Be'achris HaYomim, we're going to be redeemed, not through the Avoda of Yitzchak, and not through the Avoda of Tefillah and of Yitzchak Avinu, and the Avoda of Torah of Yaakov Avinu, but we're going to be redeemed b'schut tzedakah u'gemilus chasadim. As it said, Tefillah b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah, Rabbi Lef in the Shmoneh Esrei brings this down. All that will be left in its full intensity in 32 will be the attribute of Avraham Avinu, chesed, kindness, and the merit of the Jews performing acts of kindness for one another will be redeemed, as it said, siyomim mishpat tipata. So how do we bring the Geula closer? It's through staka. What does this have to do with God? So I'll tell you. The Gemara tells us, very famous Gemara, that they darshan out the end of 31, Rav Shmadron brings in Tchelet Mordechai, they darshan out the Aleph Bet, the letters and what they mean. Aleph is aluf. Aluf bina. Aluf is from learning. Learn bina. Learn understanding. Gimel dalet, the next two letters. Gimel gimel. Do acts of kindness. Dalet dalim. Dalet, so someone who's poor. Right? So gimel dalet is about doing acts of kindness. And that's why the gimel faces the dalet. The gimel gives to the dalet. The dalet doesn't face the gimel because it's embarrassed to receive. And that's the way the letters are even you know, read it, shows us this deeper idea. So therefore, in the asterisk, in 31, the second asterisk, Vezeshekatav, God, God is Rashi Tevo Gimel Dalim. God is Gimel Dalim. Gimel Dalim. Good, Yikudenu, Vahu Yakud Akev. Ritzon Lamar, Vahakrit Sayamim, Yigalenu, Vizkut Mitzvah, Tztako, Gmilus Chasadim, that we will be redeemed because of the Gemilas Chasadim. So when Yaakov Avinu repeats the God, the Gimel Dalet, over and over again, four different times in one Pasuk, it is a clear indication that he's hinting at, again, not saying it outright, he's hinting at, how do you bring the Geula? I'll tell you, God, Yigudun, Gidun, Yigudun, Yigud, over and over again, God being played on here. What's going on? Gemol Dalim. Give to others. By giving, that's Makar Vigula, Tsiyom Mishpat Tipode, Vishaveh B'Tztaka. We'll just add here, before getting to our final level, in 33, Rav Weissblum and HaRosh Derech points out that clearly the difference between giving in the secular world and giving in the Jewish world is our giving isn't just because it makes us feel good and or look good. Our giving is Imatat Yodeo Achre Shemolkechem Telechu. And it's even deeper than that. Our giving is based on the Pasuk of Zeh Keliva Avehu, this is my God, and I will glorify him, which Chazal say, Havei Domelo, on Vehu Anivahu, I in him. When I become Ase Atmi Kemoso, I become like him, Lidabek Bidrachav, to follow in his ways, like Hashem is merciful and gives, I need to be merciful and give. So by giving Tztaka, it's not just that I'm helping out the poor people, and that technically brings about the redemption. It's much deeper than that. When I give, and I continually give, the more I give, the more I'm tapping into the godly part of me. The more Zekeliva Veyu Anivahu, I become godlike. And again, the more I become godlike, the more I'm opening myself up for this relationship, enabling myself to be ready for the ultimate redemption, which is Va'anvehu, the Anivahu, is being so close to Ribbono Shel Olam. How do you get to this level? That's what Yaakov Avinu is trying to teach us. How do you prepare yourself for this? By giving and being a continuous giver. God repeated four times in different variations. Gemol Dalim, the more you give, the more you emulate God. The more you emulate God, the more you become a godlike person. The more you become a godlike person, the more you're open for the ultimate redemption, to have a relationship with Hashem. The final level is obviously the most difficult. Not obviously. In this case, it's the most difficult of all of our levels. And we don't have that much time left, so I'll do most of it outside. And it's difficult, and it needs to be processed and held at the same time. It's very important. There's another child that has a tremendous hint for us, and that's Yisachar. Yisachar is a strong-boned donkey. He rests between the boundaries. He saw tranquility, that it was good, and the land, that it was pleasant. Yet he bent his shoulder to bear, and he became an indentured laborer. And this is very fascinating. Yisachar, we know, was the Yodei Bina. They were the ones who were the scholars. They were mostly the Sanhedrin. Right? We usually think of Levi and Yehuda as being the scholars, which they were. Yisachar, that was their tum. They were Yisachar Zvul, and Yisachar learned Zvul and supported them. That's very fascinating. Yisachar sees tranquility, that it was good, and the land, that it was pleasant. And then you would think the next phrase would be, and he sit back, kicked up his feet, and enjoyed. But what does he do? He bends his shoulder to bear the weight. He becomes an indenture laborer. Hold on a second. Is this about tranquility? Vayarminu chakitov, that tranquility was good? Va'aretz ki na'ema? It seems to be like a mismatch in this pasuk. So the Omosha, which is 35 to 36, explains the following. You ever wondered why the Torah wasn't given in Eretz Yisrael? Ish tache gafno, ish tache tenato, everyone sitting under their vine and under their fig tree. Why is it given in the desert? The desert's a place of so much trials, tribulation, lack of tranquility. And he says, because that's the whole point. The whole point of life is not about menucha, rest. It's not about the physical rest, the sitting under the tree in a tranquil way. Hachafetz in the Dan in 35, limso menucha yidei menucha saguf. If someone wants to find rest through the rest of the through resting of the body. Domaine l'adamsis affaire seminal ace. You try to put out a fire, so you pour oil on it, and all you're going to do is make the fire bigger. Or you give somebody who's thirsty salt water, then their thirst becomes even greater. Somebody who's resting, they're never going to be satisfied. It's like something that just is, you know, you just want more and more of it. The ultimate menucha, the ultimate rest, which is the ultimate feeling of being in a place of tranquility, is through Torah. It's not outer tranquility. That is why it's in the Midbar, we got the Torah. It's not about our tranquility. It's about understanding that we only have one purpose in life. And that is, as he says here so clearly, is to be able to shisparer in 36 in the bracket, v'yitz'amedei t'l adam, v'chavosa ba'olama. What are we here to do in this world? It's not here to have, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. We're here to live a life of Torah. We're here to have a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. That is what Yisachar understood. Yisachar was a model of Torah. For him, the tranquility and the land that was pleasant is about bending your shoulder over. That's tranquility. To be able to sit and learn. To be able to live a Torah lifestyle. That is the greatest tranquility you can have, because that is feeding the soul. The body is never going to be satisfied. Whatever it has, it wants more. The only way to have real tranquility is through hard work. And through hard work, that I am coming closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. I am doing my job in this world. That's the ultimate tranquility. Now, with this in mind, my friends, we can now appreciate this is Siftei Dat 37 through 40, this based on the Sfasem Es Chidushei Arim. The Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Yisrael, says the Chidushei Arim, he lived Bechinas HaEmes, where he was able to live with the truth, that he understood that everything around him is a mirage, that all the impurity of Egypt is a mirage, and the only chiyus, the only life that there is a life of Torah. And he was able to connect himself to that life, to the life of the Nefesh Chaya, that which is alive, connecting to the ultimate source of God. He was living that image that he was giving over to Yisachar. That life is about being able to know with clarity why you're here in this world. That Yaakov Avinu in Mitzrayim, the place of Meitzar, the place of narrow straits, Vayechi Yaakov, he lived. He was not fooled by those narrow straits. He understood that all the evil, all the darkness, all the narrow straits was to a certain degree a mirage, because all that there really is the will of God. So whatever exists on the outside world are just klipos. They're just external shells, but they're not the core. Yaakov Avinu was able to see through all of the trappings and say, I know what life is all about. Life is about connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov lived 17 years in Mitzrayim. He lived with this clarity that I'm not influenced by that which is around me. All I am is connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that, says the Sfasem Es, is what Yaakov Avinu wanted to give over. Source 39. Bikesh Yaakov legalo to the kates lo at the tarich hasofi shal yitzia. He didn't want to tell him the ultimate date. And like kates hagolos atzma bodavi tzuma, he wanted to teach them how do you get out of exile while you're in exile. Kashir mevina yudi et sodos shal Yaakov Avinu. If you know the secret of Yaakov Avinu, kashir yodea yudi ech liyodovik b'shorish achai. How you know how you're connected to life and to see everything is the will of God, then ain a golus mashpia alav, then there you aren't living in golus, it's not going to affect you. The hester panim, the concealment, all of these challenges isn't going to bother you because you realize it's just external. And that the core, the truth, the connection to God is only that's real. This is the message that Yaakov Avinu wanted to give over to his children. He wanted to teach him this secret. And Hashem says, no, this is a secret that they have to figure out by themselves. So he hints at it in Yisachar's bracha, that you want to know what's good, you want to know what's the right path. It's struggle. It's going through difficulties of Torah. Because when you're living through the difficulties of Torah, then there is nothing more pleasant. There is nothing more good. And all the outer tribulations and all the outer challenges fall to the wayside. Because you're connected to the source of goodness. And once you're connected to the source of goodness, everything connected to good is good. And indeed, my friend, as the Sefer Arim Kol Chayim Melech points out again from the Sfas Emes, that Hametzar in 43, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Mevi'el Adam Hu Hachana LeYeshua, the challenges that we have is only preparing us for the ultimate salvation. Meimin Mechayu Matzmiach Yeshua, Hashem kills to bring it back life. And he brings down here from a number of people, from the Leshem, Baal HaLeshem, as well as from others, that in the future time, Kol Pirtanim Sim Shebabriya Kula 44, V'chol Taluchot Inyaneim Shavru Al Kol Achai V'Achai, both on the global and impersonal level, everything that we go through, every single detail, every single moment, Atidim Lechzor V'Lichadesh L'Akum L'Takein Be'Tchiyat HaMetim, it's all going to come back at the times of Tchiyat HaMetim. We're going to see our entire lives in front of us. And all we're going to see is the goodness. And we're going to see it from a totally different perspective than we're experiencing it now. We'll see that every single thing we went through, the good, the challenging in our eyes, was all good. It was all coming from a tov ha-metim. It's all good. What does it mean that Hashem is trustworthy to revive the dead? That in the future Hashem is trustworthy. Shalati Lavo in 45. Yiskala Lano Ketzad Kol and the Filos Kol Atzaros V'Kol Achoshech Bara. In the future we'll see all the challenges, all the trouble, all the bad. Hayu Be'etzom Shalvim Mekavim Etagula brought the Geula closer, and they are all Maaseh Chesed. They're all aspects of goodness. And that, my friends, is the ultimate redemption that Yaakov Avinu wanted to show us. How do you get out of Gullus? Well, you don't need to get out of Gullus if you're never in Gullus. Because the Gullus, at the Kates, he wanted to teach us the end meaning how to be able to deal with the Gullus, that you don't feel like you're surrounded. And how do you do that? You live with the appropriate understanding. That called the Avid Rachman Latov Avid, that whatever Hashem does is good. That you want to know what's really good in this world? It's Torah mitzvos, it's connection to God. And when a person lives in that mindset, that whatever is going through in my life is really good, and I'm able to appreciate the good, and I'm able to recognize that Hashem, whatever you do is good, and really acknowledge that goodness, at that moment I'm no longer in Golos, I'm no longer in exile, I'm living in redemption. And that itself brings even greater redemption and redemptive powers from above. And that also enables us to be ready for the final redemption, when Mechaya Mesing, we see that everything was good, and we'll just shake our heads and say, yes, I knew that. I lived that way. And that was Bikesh Yaakov Legalot Atakeit. He wanted to share with us the secret of how you get out of Golos, how you get out of exile. You get out of exile when you realize that you've never been in exile in the first place.